Pal Comic Hour with your hosts, Andrew Glauner
and Chris Ramos.
Tonight, we talk about Red Sonja by Gail Simone, the legend, the one, the only. And we are very excited to delve into this nice hardcover collected edition that came out a couple years ago. It covers the first or the only 18 issues of her run. And we're super excited to share that with you tonight.
Yeah, and it's a nice oversized edition. It kind of reminds me of like an Absolute, DC Absolute edition.
Yeah, it's pretty close to size.
Whether it's, yeah, it might be a little shy of how tall those are and doesn't come with a slip cover or slip case. But still, nice oversized art like we always talk about. And just a great way to take a really celebrated run. I mean, it became like super popular. It had like its own little following.
Sure.
In 2013.
Yeah, and Gail Simone, she has did things for both Marvel and DC. Some notable stuff is like Batgirl. She had the Secret Six. She's had just a quite variety of bringing female characters to the forefront of comics.
She did some Wonder Woman?
She did some Wonder Woman as well. Yep, that's also in an omnibus format. We definitely encourage you to check that out. Super talented writer, and this was my first time reading Gail Simone. So it was actually really cool to delve into that and see what kind of the hype was about.
Yeah, I think one super quick takeaway about her writing is you immediately figure out that she kind of jumps into the genre, not just the characters. Like she really tries to say, okay, even though this is set up in what some would consider like high fantasy medieval times, right?
Sure.
This Conan the Barbarian.
So this is in the Conan Barbarian universe, technically.
Yeah, and Conan and Red Sonja have crossed over in the past. I mean, they're in the same continent.
Right.
But Gail Simone wanted to take the character and really just imagine, like, what would be her environment? Like, how would she stand out in this, you know, heavily dominated sword and sorcery world?
Absolutely. And this was a big reboot for Red Sonja as well, just to kind of clean up a lot of things and really bring some modern sensibilities and some new ideas to her character as well. It's always good to do that with some characters from the distant past or just kind of revitalize them a bit.
Yeah, because she's, you know, got some history as a character herself. Red Sonja, a lot of people might recognize her because she's in the chainmail bikini, right?
Yep.
People are like, oh yeah, that's that one. Yep. But she has always been in the sidelines of Marvel, because like Marvel ran Conan the Barbarian for years.
Yeah,
the Marvel
Savage sort of Conan,
like all of the 80s, right?
Years. Yeah.
So like in the 80s, a lot of people would remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger made the Conan the Barbarian movies, which are cool. And then there was a Red Sonja movie too. And that's where I kind of remember the character from.
Starring Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah. It's from that movie.
Right.
And that movie was, you know, at the time was pretty popular.
Sure. And just to note that Red Sonja was created, at least when the Marvel stuff, was created by Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor-Smith that we talked about earlier. And back in 1973, and this is all based on Robert E. Howard's ideas and stuff. And Robert E. Howard was the guy who created the Conan and his world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just kind of revitalizing those ideas and kind of flushing those out. So, yeah.
And kind of how would you write them in 2013?
Like, yes.
What do you keep?
Absolutely.
And what do you not keep?
Mm-hmm.
And Gail Simone is really well known for being like a lot of like, I guess the easiest way to say it is just like girl power.
Yeah.
Just a lot of girl power. She wants to make sure that, you know, no one just looks at this and says, well, that's just a woman running around in a chainmail bikini.
Right. Or, you know, having females in lead roles, showing that they're just as equal as men, some quality issues that are going on, and just trying to take women seriously. Showing that they're still badasses and great to write and great to follow.
I mean, and especially just being a few years ago.
Exactly.
Really, when you think about it.
And just the last comparison for DC, we kind of, in the pre-show we talked about, she did Red Sonja what Geoff Johns did for Aquaman. She made her a serious character, made it very interesting and new reader friendly and just great story driven and character investment, and you want to keep reading and finding out about her adventures.
Yes. So the oversized volume is split into three acts.
Yes.
What do we say? Eight issues each, six issues
six
each?
Six issues each.
And it really just introduces you right away, like right off the bat, to the character of Red Sonja, which is like pretty much never quit, right? Like
that's yes, absolutely.
Our first thing.
Yeah, no, just never give up. She's very much of a swashbuckler character.
Yeah.
I put my D&D sensibilities back on, and how will you approach a barbarian character and things like that. But I like how much fun like Red Sonja is to read.
Chaotic, just chaotic good.
She is very chaotic good. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
She loves to actually just sort of stir the pot, and she pretty much holds to her own. I want to say like her own agenda, but she's also driven and drawn to people who she's had like, you know, I gave him my oath, or, you know, oh, I owe him for this or that. You know, like she always pays her debts and she always makes sure that
honor's a word.
Yes, she's like that. Her honor and is her word. So
she's going to do it through unconventional means by my sense, and do it her own way and her own brand of justice.
If you want her to show up and help you out, it's going to be on her terms.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I like that she kind of, like Gail Simone kind of does this different origin story for her, where we're not going all the way back to her original kingdom and stuff like that. What happened to her family? We get to that, but we do it kind of just interweave like flashbacks. So that was cool.
Yeah. So the first act starts with her as a captured slave, right?
Right. You're just like, you're just going head first into it. You're like, okay.
She's just like thrown into the dungeon, and the king comes down and says, why is everyone dead except for these two women?
Mm-hmm.
And he saves her, and she always remembers that. So it was her and another girl down there. Anicia, right?
Anicia, yes. The dark Anicia.
Yes. And so they parted their ways. And then years later, like we just said, Red Sonja was called back to a blood oath that she made to help the king whenever he needed it. And was it his son that came back and said, your king needs you? And
so, well, it was kind of like some of her his bodyguards that came through. These two like twin sisters that kind of wake Red Sonja up of like a drunk sleep.
Yeah.
And like a campfire, and she's like, what? What do you want me to do? I don't know this king. Oh, don't you remember way back when you were freed by him? Oh,
sick of that guy.
Okay.
And that's true. Yeah.
You better get me some more wine.
Yeah. So she's always drinking. She's always sort of like, I don't know, like a barroom brawler,
a little relaxed.
Yeah, not a brawl. I guess she hangs out.
Yes,
it kind of has that like, barroom mentality.
You're playing D&D. Your first thing your character does if you like to adventure is you go to the tavern.
Yeah,
you go to the tavern, have an ale. That's Red Sonja.
Yeah, and sometimes things end up with
falling in her lap.
Or fighting and all that. But yeah, so it kind of pulls back and forth for her from the past to the present, to the past to present, you know, like what has shaped where she is now. And I thought that was a cool way to just throw the reader right into some action and then pull out of the action and say like, this is what happened 3 years ago. And then like right back in the action.
Mm-hmm.
The artwork kind of keeps you really, really going. We were talking about the artist earlier too.
Yes. I think it's David Giovanni.
Walter Giovanni.
There you go. And Walter Giovanni, such a great interior style he's developed. Super clean, detailed, a lot of close-ups. And
as I was saying, lots of close-ups.
But just does an excellent job illustrating the story and keeping it focused.
And like everyone, I'm just kind of like always flipping through these books when we're talking about them, but like everyone has some pretty solid like expressions.
Yeah.
The way he shows characters kind of falling or dying or fighting, you know, there's a lot of really full page action, which is cool. Like you turn the page, it's like, geez, it's just the two of them on this page, the whole page.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really, really cool close-ups and all that.
Yeah. And I guess talking about the collected edition itself, this is put out by Dynamite Comics. And mm-hmm. Dynamite, they do like The Boys, by Garth Ennis, and there's a couple other Vampirella, and there's a couple other big notable runs that Dynamite does. But Red Sonja is one of their biggest like sellers and biggest characters and things like that that got for them. But they're starting to get into those collect edition, those omnibuses, those nice hardcover oversized editions. So, props to Dynamite for coming out with a great looking book.
Yeah, and this one has, like you said, gone in and out of print for a few years now. People really, really do like it. And this this run is a great way to, I don't know, kind of like test the waters a little bit and just reinvent the character in a new, like, high sorcery era, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So Act One continues, and she kind of like loses, you know, like you think your hero is going to win, and then she kind of loses
right.
her way.
Yeah, she deals a lot with, you know, fighting her sister and a lot of inner torment about just trying to save face, trying to combat like the plague. People think she was cause of a plague that was coming about. And it turned out that it was very much the opposite, or people mm-hmm. were trying to frame her and things like that. And such brilliant ideas that were coming across this book. It's super, super interesting.
Well, it's one way to take like a legendary character and then just start pinning a lot of stuff on them.
Sure.
Because if you think of like that world, people latch onto, you know, people in power like kings and queens, but yep. then they also latch onto, you know, wizards and warriors. And so if they can sort of blame them for things, then it's,
yeah,
you know, the story passes pretty fast.
Sure. And trying to make them relatable and, mm-hmm. you know, that they can make mistakes and things like that, and how they, you know, struggle through those and how they overcome them. Super cool.
Well, and a lot of times she tries to just sort of escape it and just say,
oh, right.
leave me alone, you know, yeah. right? And then people find her and mm-hmm. they're like, oh, it's you. And so she's got that like that storytelling where she's always called back to destiny. She's
yes,
always called
absolutely.
Back
There's definitely a call of destiny.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole book, absolutely.
And Conan the Barbarian kind of had that too, where he was always like, no, I just want to do this one quest and be done. And then they pull them back and pull them back and pull them back. That's what happens to legendary characters. You just, they're constantly, you know, King Arthur, everything else we've, you know, kind of been looking at. It's the same idea.
Sure.
And when you look at the introduction, Gail Simone says a lot of her story and just her feel was drawn from like Beowulf and Conan and Claw and Iron Jaw. I mean, she pulled a lot mm-hmm. of that from just everything
cool.
going on.
That's awesome. Especially with all that legacy, it's hard to leave that out. You know,
right,
and
right.
You could be still influenced by it and just update it a bit, for sure. I also thought, like we were talking about, like Dark Anicia and some of like the bodyguards and things like that, the supporting cast she gives Red Sonja in this book is so cool and interesting. And she always gives them like a backstory of where they came from and how they're connected to Red Sonja and things like that. And really does a good job of investing in those characters,
mm-hmm.
making you want to care about them instead of just, oh, we wrote them for this one scene and then we wrote them out. Sometimes they come back. So that's super cool. I found that very interesting.
And, you know, the other thing that really got me as we're kind of going even into like the end of Act One and into Act Two is I don't like try to look for areas where like the story kind of falls off. But sometimes when you're going through a comic or even in a novel that you're reading, there's, you know, one thing where you're like, well, that's out of character, or one thing like, well, that's convenient that mm-hmm. that just happened. Right.
Yes.
And some writers use it as like a sort of a save, you know, like they'll write themselves into a corner and then they'll be like, oh no, you know, we need a wizard to come in and like
right.
reset this or something.
Yeah.
Gail Simone's really, really careful about her writing, where she kind of sets it up where I guess the easiest way to say it is like she introduces characters, she builds up their backgrounds, and then they start kind of intertwining with each other.
Yep.
And then you start seeing like where this story is going, because now you have three or four characters that have all been properly introduced in the story. So then you start caring about those characters. And she does that like quick.
Yeah, seamlessly.
Yeah, like she'll do a character in like an issue, one issue, and you'll be like, I want to know more about that person. And it's just like she just knows it. So Gail Simone, she's got some chops. She's really, really
good. I can't wait to read some of our other ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it was a super cool, interesting first arc that you kind of get a quick overview of who Red Sonja is, how much of a warrior she is, and things like that. Such a cool introduction for the character. And then like the second story, I call it the Gathering of the Compatriots.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So Red Sonja is she meets characters through all walks of life and things like that. And she's hanging out with this pharaoh in like Egypt or whatever.
Yep.
And the pharaoh's like, I'm going to die. And before I die, I would like to have a grand feast, the party of all parties. And I would like to have the seven most, entertaining people in the world, or interesting people in our world.
Like one of each from their part of field, the top of their field.
Top of their field. And I want you to go collect them for me and bring them back here. Yep. And if you do that, I'll free all my slaves. And Red Sonja, she came from, those hardships of slavery and things like that. And she's a big advocate of freeing people. And that's very much of like her warrior code and things like that. So she's like, I suppose for you, Feral, I will do it. You know, she kind of respects him at the start of this journey. Mm-hmm. And she says, I will go do that. And this story arc, it was great to like explore the world of Red Sonja as well. Just to see all the different continents and all the different types of characters and character types you come across.
Well, and it also introduced different challenges for her. So you weren't just thinking that she's constantly fighting battles in a field, like she's not a soldier, I guess is a good way to think of it. And also, spoiler, she doesn't really wear the chainmail bikini very much.
No,
right? Like they just kind of got rid of that. It shows flashbacks, which I thought was really funny. It shows flashbacks of like when she was younger and she was wearing like a chainmail bikini kind of thing.
Yeah, like her younger days.
Yeah, like they're like, oh yeah, 10 years ago. And then she's wearing it then. So it kind of shows her that she's maybe matured a little bit.
Sure, she's kind of grown up some.
Yeah, and wearing something that's more practical to just everyday life. There was another piece that Gail Simone changed in Red Sonja's history. Red Sonja, I think she even says it in the movie, that she'll never like lay with a man that doesn't defeat her in battle.
Yes.
Like that was her big deal.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, so like Conan even and everyone else, like if they couldn't defeat her, then she was like not even interested in them. She was like, no. Yeah. We'll never be anything.
Right, because who could hold Sonya's interest? That's her love interest for that man.
So that was her thing. And even Gail Simone was like, I thought that was ridiculous. She's like, it just seems silly to base her like love life around how well she could fight men with a sword. And so she was like, I don't like that. Like Gail Simone just got rid of that.
Gotcha.
So in this book, the funny part is whenever someone sort of coming on to her, they always said like, well, you need a bath or something. Like,
that's
always like, so your road wearer, you smell bad.
Yeah,
and that's
they bring
just
that
her
up
way.
Several times. Yep. In that.
So it kind of like kept people at a distance. And Gail Simone kind of laughed that like, that was a fun way for her to be like, Red Sonja wants a companion, but they were just like, you need to take care of yourself.
Hygiene.
Hygiene
matters.
Yeah, instead of like, you and I should be together unless we can fight.
Right.
It was just more reason to fight. And so I think Gail Simone doesn't like the like meaningless fights. Like, we're going to sword fight now to see if we can be together.
Yeah.
And Gail Simone's like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So she'd rather build a story around actual like,
sure,
battling for,
and that kind of group brings up a great point about her writing. And the story was, it wasn't serious all the time. It was very, very light. There's a lot of lighthearted, that the tongue in cheek humor a bit, it just made it so funny. at some points, and just more relatable of a character.
And she was like, excuse me now, I'm going to go drink heavily. Like, that was the end of the issue. You know?
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so she continues on and she gathers up all of these the artisans and
the patriots. The chef was pretty cool. That he was still my favorite.
Yeah.
The swordsman was all right. You know, he tried to train her how to be a better swordsman and things like that. That was so cool.
Oh yeah, and then she, what was it? She lost because she didn't think it was to the death.
Yeah.
And then when it was to the death, then she won.
Mm-hmm. So like the stakes. Yeah, I was trying to take her mindset about sword fighting to a different place as well.
Yeah, the stakes have to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't just train and practice. She
And so much as the swordsman that she was meeting, he was more of like a traditional like one-on-one sword fight and more of a proper term. Mm. But out in the real, like the actual battlefield, he wasn't as strong as she was. She was more practical. So I was trying to come to watch those two kind of come to terms with each other. That was pretty cool. Interesting.
And she's always written just like really focused, really strong willed, you know, just like you don't mess with her like ever. There isn't a moment where she's just sort of weak or needs saving or something, you know, and like.
Right. She's never so much the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Distress. It's more of just. She wears all of her feedback and all of her emotions on her chest and stuff like that and weighs heavily on her. So when she does fail or something, you know, blocks her, takes away something from her, that she has to be very much motivated or saved or encouraged to like, hey, you're still Red Sonja. You're still a great fighter. You can do this.
You can carry on.
You can carry on. Yeah, I saw that. That was such a compelling thing to read through. Yeah.
So the other cool thing is when you're going through the oversized edition, and I'm not sure if they have these in the other collected, but all of the original issue covers by Jenny Friesen. Are so good. They're so
breathtaking.
They're like really, really delicate, like colored pencil or even just a little digital touches here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I don't know. It's like, each one is its own little art piece that they put on the cover. Yeah,
very much a portrait of her. And,
right. It's just Red Sonja mostly in all of them.
Yep.
They got some monsters and stuff. But
yeah.
Like really good show pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. And she does almost throughout the whole 18-issue run, she does them. So very cool and classic. And I made them so iconic. Yeah. I got to meet her at a C2E2 last year and very nice and got like the issue one cover. So I still have that in my room.
The way to do it. Cool. She's showing it's out of the way to do
And then the third arc is kind of like where we have our magic arc, I guess.
Well, I think they wanted to bring it in.
Part of the sorcery part of the sword.
Right. And it was funny too. She's wearing a dress and then like outside of her dress, she has like the chainmail bikini thing going on. But the, there was an interlude in here too, is what I was going through too.
Mm-hmm.
Like they threw it in with a different artist, but you kind of shows that Red Sonja, you know, she sometimes goes too headlong into things and then she ends up in a lot of trouble. And so she needs a little more help. This is where she, you know, messed up her hands and stuff like that.
Oh, so yeah, because so the premise of the sorcery arc was she was cursed so that she couldn't forgive anyone.
Right.
And so she, no matter what, she would get in an argument. She would become this very aggressive figure, like overly aggressive. Like if you were to try to fight her and, you know, but not necessarily, you don't want to kill her and stuff. She would just pull and try to kill you.
Yeah. What is that? Like she was in a bar and someone like spilled their drink. Yeah. On her, and you then, could. Like, she just couldn't stop.
But yeah. To- like kind of. Just gets into like this barbarian rage, as our D&D terms. So at one point in the story, she has to like physically burn her hands so she can't hold the sword.
Because she just didn't trust herself anymore. Right?
And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. She was cursed.
Yes. And that was her. It shows the length of what she's willing to do to set things right. She didn't do it initially, but she figured out through people in her supporting cast telling her, you gotta stop. You gotta stop.
Yeah. And she always has like handmaidens or someone's that, you know, people are just always inspired by her. So they're always sort of
yeah,
following her around and just like right there with her.
Yeah. You know? So that was a really cool way to do like a curse on Red Sonja.
Yeah. And like different interpretation of it. Most people wouldn't go that far to break the curse, but she does.
Yes.
Because again, they're just sort of establishing her as just a badass. Like she'll mm-hmm. go to any length to do that.
Yeah. So yeah, Gal Simone's run on Red Sonja was so cool. The villains were really well made. Different obstacles and challenges that the story brought along were interesting and gripping, and I really wanted to make just a kind of felt like a fresh breath of air, mm-hmm. you know, palate cleanser. We always talk about
and that. They show you enough of the world and enough of the kingdoms and the different like countries and different that anyone can sort of take this and build on it. And I think that was Gail's like number two reason. It was like, we're going to reestablish not only just her, but like this entire universe that people can just, other writers just take it.
Go, right. You know? And so if you're interested after reading this run by Gail Simone, Amy Chu is the next writer up in Red Sonja's epic saga. So we definitely encourage you to check that out as well.
Yes. And this one was by Dynamite. Look it up. It's the oversized, or they call it the complete Gail Simone Red Sonja Omnibus.
Yeah. It's very, very good to run. So that's been another excellent edition of Bampow Comic Hour. And this is your host, Andrew Glenn.
And Chris Ramos.
Signing off.
Thank you, everyone.